All right, welcome one, welcome all. Midnight with Robert Shaw.
Midnight with Robert Goulet.
That's another podcast that'll be coming soon, though, to a theater near you.
So that one's a great one. Great. Yeah. Elvis did not like Robert Goulet.
Did he not?
No, he shot a TV with his face on it, and he said, that'll be enough of that shit.
Is that true?
That's a true story. I heard the tape. Wow. It was recorded. It was recorded. It's audio. I saw it. It exists.
Wow. Wow.
Believe it or not.
That's news to me.
That's my Jack Palance. Jack Palance impression from Ripley's Believe It or Not. Believe it or not. Number one, a guy.
That's pretty good. It's pretty good.
All I got to do is sound out of breath because I think he kind of was. He must have smoked a lot. But he lived a long, fruitful life, so, you know, who's to say smoking didn't help him live longer?
Potential. Potential is there for that to be true.
I think it's true. You know who died of lung cancer, never smoked a cigarette in her life?
Who?
Mrs. Christopher Reeve.
Really?
Died of lung cancer, never smoked a day in her life.
How'd she get whatever?
I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
You should know these things. You bring up this interesting tidbit, and then we get nothing from it.
No, that's it. That is the something. I'm essentially saying Jack Palance swapped lungs with Dana Reeves.
Oh, interesting.
Much like Keith Richards drains the blood of a 14-year-old every 6 months to live longer.
Well, you have all the facts.
Yeah, no, that was from his book. It was Keith Richards' book. Still not as bad as Jimmy Page, who kidnapped a woman for like 25 years. Locked her up in her house and like married her.
Wow.
I don't think they were ever married, though. I think they were. He basically kidnapped her. She was 14, 15. He was on heroin at the time, granted. So he didn't really have control of his faculties. And he kidnapped a 14-year-old girl and essentially kept her prisoner in his mansion for like 5, 6 years, maybe 10. And they became boyfriend, girlfriend. I don't know if they got married. I can't remember if that was the happy ending to the story. But essentially, you know, it was Stockholm Syndrome to heaven.
Huh. Yeah, Richard Cole has alleged in that same year or whatever, at the request of Page, kidnapped a 14-year-old girl, Lori Maddox, whom Page kept behind closed doors so as to avoid word of child sex abuse getting out.
There you go. Need I say?
Wow, that's crazy.
Jimmy Page, ladies and gentlemen.
Another reason I don't like Led Zeppelin.
Gosh, oh, come on. Immigrant Song.
They're like the best cover band that ever lived.
Oh, in the days of my youth, I was told what it means to be a man. That's all I got.
That's a great impersonation. That's spot
wow! On. Wow! Jimmy Page, he didn't sing, though. That was not Roger Daltrey. I always forget the name of the... I know Sam Bottoms was the drummer, because he died. He choked on his own vomit.
He's
drunk, and they never really recovered after his death, because I think they were done by that time. They didn't want to continue as Led Zeppelin.
So who would it be? Is it Robert Plant? That's who it was.
Robert Plant, yeah, that's it.
He's the guy.
Robert Duvall.
Well, why not Robert Duvall?
Robert Palmer was the lead singer for Led Zeppelin.
I think it's so funny that the guy who did like Wedding Crashers and a lot of crap after that and otherwise is doing that new Robert Downey Jr. movie. That Judge movie.
Oh, right. Oh, is that? That's who did that? Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, this is like could be a good movie. Who knows? But now I'm thinking it's just the trailer. The trailer was great. Movie's going to be terrible.
You know what movie surprised me the other day? Not due to the fact that it was good. It was all right. It was decent. I didn't hate it. But I didn't realize it was directed by Mick G. And that was 3 Days to Kill, starring Kevin Costner.
Not bad, he said.
Not awful, but it's Luc Besson's screenplay. So
it can only rise so far then before it's over.
Well, again, it's just like Luc Besson's screenplays are all the same now because Taken was such a success. It's like every single one of his screenplays has to involve some like ex-CIA guy with daughter issues. It's like the same script from Taken, only this one's a little bit better because he's dying, I guess.
Huh, okay.
And Amber Heard hires him to find this guy. I mean, it's not awful. It's worth a Redbox rental.
Now, is Amber Heard the bad guy?
No.
Is she evil?
She's just the gray character. She's the gray CIA contact. She doesn't like, she has no right or wrong about her. She's apathetic. You know, she's the big brother. She's the one looking over your shoulder, and she doesn't care about right or wrong because it's about the good of the country, sort of thing. But she doesn't really do much. She just shows up in like low cut outfits and push up bras. That's about all she can do because she really has no personality outside of her titties. So it's really hard to be like, oh yeah, Amber Heard's great. What was she good in? Oh, wasn't she in The Savages? Oh, no, that was Blake Lively. Oh, God. She was really good in Pirates of the Caribbean. No, that was Keira Knightley. Oh, shit. She was really good in Black Swan. Natalie Portman. No, shit.
She was great in Zombieland.
Yeah, again, that was not her.
Well, she is in it for 5 seconds.
So. That was Emma Stone. Oh, that's right. She's the zombie at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I saw The Ward with her in it, the John Carpenter movie.
Oh, gosh.
Did you see it?
No desire.
It's very, 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 very dumb.
Who would have thought?
It's like really dumb. Like you figure it out in the first 10 minutes and you're just like, I hope this isn't where it's going. And then it ends up being where it's going. And you're just like, oh my God, no. There were some neat like scares in it. And there's like a couple of neat little, you know, John Carpenter things here and there, but it was very much tired, curmudgeon-y John Carpenter, where he's probably smoking a carton of Marlboros and he's just like thinking, why wasn't Big Trouble in Little China a fucking success? Why am I doing this shit again? I'm so sick of this horror crap. But I'll do it. They're paying me. Did my check go through? All right, action. Let's set this up. Let's do it. That's how it feels like. But Jared Harris is in it.
Oh, right. Yeah, I like him.
He was good. Yeah. He was fine. But I think what we should really discuss, though, is the problem with television at this stage of the game.
All right, well, go ahead. Open up the discussion. Open it up.
You're seeing a lot of commercials and sneak peeks at this new show that's premiering on Fox called Gotham, which is essentially, they probably have $100,000 more budget than Arrow, but that doesn't mean it's better.
I don't know. I gotta say, I like Arrow. I think that the lead actor, they make him a little too depressed. He's very Batman-esque.
He's very terrible too.
It's very like Batman Begins.
I mean, he's lucky he's got like a 6-pack abs, because if he was relying on his acting ability, he would be dragged into the street and shot.
Oh, don't say that.
His acting ability is, I would compare it to a cat being strangled.
No, Richard, take that back.
No.
No, he is by no means ever going to win an Oscar, but I do think,
let alone a daytime Emmy,
for the quality of the show, he is not bad. He's not bad. I like him on the show.
For the quality of the show, he is like paint drying.
No, he's like painting paint.
This is my impression of the acting on Arrow. Mom, Laura is sick on drugs again. You were involved with Merlin? No. I forgive you. That's it. That's all he does. And then he pulls an arrow with his bow and he goes, And that's it. But that's the acting.
Clearly, you watch the show.
I have seen pieces of it.
You're a huge fan.
Not really.
I'm a huge fan.
Richard. I feel bad for DC that they're restricted to television. Like, they don't know how to make a cinematic world like Marvel. It's so depressing and so pathetic. Like, they're so bad at this. They're like Marvel in the 70s, where they had, like, the Amazing Spider-Man show, the Incredible Hulk show, and that was about as high as they could aspire to be. And then DC had Superman the movie, which was a huge hit, and everybody like, whoa. And hindsight's 2020. The movie now doesn't really hold up, so... ends, though.
I like it, though. The old one?
Yeah,
it's the first two acts. Like, act three is a little weak, but overall, I like it.
Yeah, I guess it's just. Well, I mean, it's a very epic movie. It was shot
right.
Richard Donner did a really good job shooting the movie, but just the movie as a whole kind of falls apart. Like you said, like in the third act, and the Margot Kidder flying around with Superman talking to herself scene is like unbearable to watch.
Yeah, that's stuff I fast forward through because that's boring.
But. Because I see Margot Kidder and I flash forward to the future and I imagine her with no teeth in a bush in North Hollywood screaming at people with like one titty hanging out of her ripped dress. You know, she's just so crazy.
The Superman curse lives on.
Yes.
But now Marvel is really getting into the TV game. And really outclassing DC once again.
But with S.H.I.E.L.D., which is terrible in and of itself.
Right. I guess I'm just saying that they're producing a lot of content for TV. Whether it's good or not is, I think, yeah, it's not really debatable. It's bad. But just, you know, you've got you got the S.H.I.E.L.D. show. You got that whatever her name is show, the Peggy Carter show.
Right.
And then the Netflix stuff coming up, so...
Yeah, they're going to really... I just feel like it's going to be too much.
Oh, I would agree. Yeah, absolutely.
Too much, too soon, too fast. Let's just keep it... It's like they're a celebrity that wants to be a musician.
That's a good analogy. I also think, while they're not the same characters, it is kind of... It begins to beg the question, why are you paying for the movies when you could just watch this stuff on TV?
Sure.
Is that the same stuff, but it is similar enough that I think that could hurt box office?
Oh, I don't think so. Look at Captain America. You had the S.H.I.E.L.D. on. If anything, it's the reverse. People will go see the movie and not stay home and watch the show.
Well, that's true. I mean, no one's watching the show.
No, because the ratings like continually went down every week.
Right.
And they kind of spiked here and there when they were bringing in characters from the movies. Right. But if they stick to the small world of the TV show, which is, you know, a budget of about 85% less than a Marvel movie, and that says something because Marvel is notoriously cheap.
Very cheap.
Yeah. I mean, the TV show just reeks of borderline, like, WB shows from the mid-90s. It's just too much like that to me.
Yeah, it looks so cheap, I feel like they asked the actors to bring their own clothes on set.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we can't afford to actually dress you, so
listen,
we can bring
look,
some clothes.
Here's the deal. Kevin Feige told me to tell you that it's either bagels in the morning or bring your own wardrobe. What do you want? And that's what happened.
Right, right, yeah.
Cream cheese is extra, by the way. We need you to bring $5 a day for the cream cheese. Kevin Feige told me to tell you this. I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry, Ming-Na.
Because she loves her cream cheese.
Ming-Na loves her cream cheese, and not an ounce of chow mein enters those lips. She's a total self-hating Chinese woman.
But let's talk about the ultimate disaster, I think, coming next season, Gotham.
Yes. which yes,
terrible.
And we just watched the intro to the Birds of Prey show, which had come out, God, I want to say 99, maybe. Maybe that was the year.
I'll find out for you.
Look it up. Yeah, I can't remember what year. Hold on. What year was I watching that show and being like, oh my God, these chicks are hot, but this show is so awful.
We're looking. Okay, down there. There we go.
We're looking. You're acting like we have interns.
Interns, hurry. 2002-2003.
Oh shit, really? It was 2002-2003? Oh my God, I'm embarrassed.
I thought it was in the late 90s.
I thought it was the late 90s too. Holy shit.
97.
I was watching that shit. 2002? I was 20.
Yeah, when I went in college, I had better things to do.
I thought I had more brains than this. My God.
I thought I had more of a life. Gosh, evidently
I don't think, you know what? I did because I didn't watch them all. I would record them maybe on VHS and then fast forward it later and be like, wow, this show's fucking dumb, and never watch it again. If I even recorded it, I might have forgotten it was on because I feel like it was one of those shows that would never find its primetime slot, and they kept moving around even within one season. They only did 13 episodes and that was it. It was done.
No, it was quick. Yeah, they canceled it very abruptly. I think when they knew it wasn't doing any business.
Yeah, which is going to happen to this Gotham show.
Ugh, yeah. None of it makes a lot of sense. It's just...
But don't you agree
that
the intro to Birds of Prey is pretty much the same look as the Gotham show? And this is a show 12 years in the future?
Well, they're trying to sell it, I think, along the same lines, don't worry that Batman's not in the show. It's still cool. And we got these characters who aren't the characters you know, but they're similar. So that should be good enough to kind of attract you to the show to watch. And there are a lot of characters that I don't think people are particularly interested in.
Well, isn't Zaz in the show?
No, you're thinking of the movie.
No, I think he's in the show, too.
Oh, is he? I
think I remember seeing... Oh, no, maybe I'm thinking of Dawn of Justice.
Yeah, because Dawn of Justice, he's in, spoiler alert, but I think very briefly. So
you won't see
him for a while. But yeah, he's in that. But no, it's got characters that I just don't think the general public is that concerned with. You got the Penguin pops up, it looks like, and you got the Riddler. And I've heard the Riddler is very effeminate.
Oh, good.
Which is a bit of a turnoff for people watching it, from what I've heard. It's too much of a caricature to be...
Oh, really?
Very realized on the show.
It's not Frank Gorshin-esque. The nuanced performance of Frank Gorshin as the Riddler in the 66 Batman.
No, sorry,
Riddle me this, Batman!
I also liked in that promo that we saw... To acknowledge he's the Riddler, he's drawing lots of question marks in his journal.
Oh God, I didn't see that.
And Catwoman, the little girl is petting a cat. Ooh,
yeah, in leather, which is very sexually suggestive, considering it's a fucking 13-year-old girl.
It's just all very odd.
Dirty ass fox. But what they're going to change in this version, Catwoman is a kid from Honduras. And she snuck into this country illegally, and she loves cats because she eats them.
I was going to say, she must eat them, then.
Yes. I am Catwoman. Hear me roar. Meow. Oh, I'm going to get some coyotes. I am in Gotham. I came here under amnesty. I never got it, so I am Catwoman. You cannot give me citizenship. I am a Catwoman.
I almost think, though, that this show would have been better served had they just put more focus on Jim Gordon than trying to tie all these villains into the
That's the problem. It's a network saying, what makes Batman so good? Oh, it's the villains. It's not anything else. And it's just like, okay, you're going to show... Again, you're going to pull a George Lucas and show the origins of all these villains that we don't really care about their origins to begin with.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, part of me, two things. So much of this is not in comic book continuity.
No.
So why not play with it and do things
that you like completely do? Different?
Yeah, I mean, you could even say, hey, Batman's... You could just do basically Gotham Central, the comic book by Greg Rucka, and just be like, Batman's around, but we don't see him, but we have real jobs, too, in the police force to deal with these criminals, like Mr. Right. Freeze and whoever else that they do kind of try and track down in the comics, and use that as the premise for the show instead of like, hey, here's an origin for 20 different characters you don't care about.
Exactly. But you know what? I think they had that meeting, and the executive who mentioned what you just said, they took him out and they shot him.
Yeah, you know, I went to his funeral. I was the only one. It was kind of
they
sad.
Shot him because he had one arm and he could not shovel snow in the street. Sorry, I was watching Schindler's List the other day. A one-arm machinist, Oscar? He was an ammunition polisher. Highly skilled.
Polishing his dick, I guess.
Well, not really. He had one hand. He couldn't really do that.
You don't think...
He was left-handed. It was his left hand, I think, that he still had. So it's probably... He was right-handed, so left hand would be useless. It couldn't get the firm grip.
I guess. I don't know. I think it could still work.
Well, it doesn't matter. He was shot in the head.
Oh. Oh, well. It's a bummer.
I work for Oscar Schindler. Oh, one arm Jew, twice as useless. God. I'm just quoting the movie, folks. I didn't say these things.
But was it Ralph Fiennes who said these things or someone else?
No, just random Nazis.
Oh, okay.
This was before Ralph Fiennes shows up.
Oh, it's been a long time since I've seen that.
Oh, it's good. I need to get on Blu-ray because I'm watching the DVD on my big screen green TV, and I'm just like, you know what? It doesn't look that good. It's kind of stretched, and it's very grainy, and it's borderline video in a way, so I need to probably pick up the Blu-ray, even though the Blu-ray has no different special features. It's kind of shitty. But anyone out there looking to get me a Hanukkah gift, Schindler's List Blu-ray, send it my way. Thank you. I'll be watching that instead of Gotham.
I think most people will. You know, there's the Schindler's List channel. 24 hours of Schindler's List. So
you laugh, but there is a Jew channel.
Yeah,
I've seen it. I'm
just waiting for the Schindler's List that has the blooper reel on it.
Well, yes, that's on late nights on the JL TV network.
That's got to be coming.
Now, the best part of that Jewish channel, the promos for it are just fantastic. They had Elian Kazan on there. She's a woman, actress. She's been in some stuff. But she goes, you're watching... I can't remember the name of the network, but it was like Jew TV. You're watching Jew TV. Not just the Chosen People's Network... but not just for Jews. Like she goes, I guess the Gentiles can watch it too, because they don't own the rights to Jack Benny. God damn it, I have the right to watch Jack Benny too.
Do they play that on there?
Oh yeah, it's great. That's like, oh man, the 50s Jack Benny series. Oh, it's so funny. And I'm not being sarcastic. It's really good. I love Jack Benny. He's like one of the best. And, like, this is from 70, 60 years ago, you know? And it's still funny.
He is pretty funny. I haven't seen a lot of him lately, but whenever he's on some of those old channels, he's great.
When he's on lately, he's been dead for 40 years.
What? It's like Ion TV or, like...
oh, right, yeah.
Whatever crap that is.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
For my parents to watch when they're on... When the cable breaks.
when you have the digital antenna hooked up and you get four channels, and one of them is My Network and Ion TV is the other one.
That's about it, yeah.
Yeah, right. You laugh, but that's all I had at the Burbank apartment for a long time, and those were actually pretty good channels.
That's all I have, too, so no laughter here. Nothing at all.
Yeah, but you got Netflix.
That's true. But as far as real channels go, that's all I've got.
Well, yeah. Well, you got ABC, NBC, CBS, right?
Yeah.
And Fox. You got the basic 5 or whatever.
No, yeah.
Maybe you got Channel 9, maybe.
Occasionally I'll come in. Occasionally.
Not Channel 9's only good for their local news, which takes up about 10 hours of their daily programming.
Oh, but back to Gotham, though.
Oh, right, yes, sorry.
It's fine. Did you read this bit about the Joker on the show?
Oh, don't. They're bringing him in there, too? They're going to ruin him, too?
Well, and here's the worst part. Here's the worst part. They're saying that in every episode of the show's first season, they introduce a character that could be the Joker. So, like, the first episode has a guy who's, like, a stand-up comedian.
Right.
And then there's another guy who's, like, a card guy, a flower seller, a clown. Or just a guy with a big grin. Yeah, it's like, really? Because this shows, like, the lack of, like, real grounded ideas that this show has. We don't really know how to introduce this character, so we'll use all of these things and see what we like the best, and then go from there.
Well, lucky for us, they'll never get to season 2, so he won't get the Croc episode origin story.
No, I mean, my feeling is they will wrap up this season to save face and to get a DVD sale, but that'll be about it.
But then again, I mean, we said the same thing about Sleepy Hollow, and those fucking dummies in America ate it up with a spoon.
Well, that and not The Stand. What is that? The Under the Dome.
Under the Dome. We again, didn't need Daddy back. Fucking dullards watching this shit on TV being, oh, it's good stuff, Stephen King movie, book story.
Gosh, I mean, when we say something won't go, it comes back.
Well, there you go. We're just
and when JP watches a show, it dies. So,
well, I gotta get him to watch Under the Dome.
You do it.
Cancel that fucking mess.
How
the hell can you push that show beyond 2 seasons? I do not understand.
Even past 1, I don't get it. It's not.
It's so dumb. You know what it was? It was the greedy CBS. They were like, "Oh, we have a summer hit. Let's not end it yet. Let's push this as far as it can go.
Let's still not end it."
Ugh, God.
Wait, have you read the end of the book? Because that's terrible. So we should probably keep it going.
And then again, this book is, like, highly praised critically. Like, a lot of people love this book. And after reading the synopsis and what happens in on Wikipedia, I was shocked. I'm like, this is where Stephen King is at now?
Now, yeah, I read that ending. It's awful. It's like, this is it? This is what
happens. I hurt. It hurts me.
It hurts a lot of people, but not Stephen King, evidently. He's fine.
Oh, he don't give a fuck. He's playing his fucking guitar, listening to Boston Red Sox games with his ugly wife.
God.
I know that's mean, because he's probably very nice. I don't mean to be mean like that. I don't know. I'm thinking about Gotham, and it's making me mad.
Yeah, that show, though, does not look worth seeing at all. So, I watched the first episode, though, out of curiosity, but I don't think I'll go beyond that.
I probably won't watch it. I don't know if I'll even watch the first one. I'll probably forget it's even on, to be honest. It sounds like a forgettable show.
I don't have much faith in it. But, and what else is coming on TV that you're, like, angry at, or...
I watched The Strain the other day.
Oh, how was that?
It wasn't quite a strain to watch The Strain.
Now, what's the premise of the show? I know it's about vampires, but what's the...
Well, I guess. It's like, I don't know. It's basically part Blade vampire, part Kronos vampire, part every Guillermo del Toro iteration of a vampire.
Okay, all right.
But it's, you know, but it's got the guy from, it's got Walder Frey in it. He's like the Van Helsing character, which he's the only good actor out of the bunch. I don't know where they found these stock actors to be like the side characters. They're so terrible. there's a lot of bad acting going on. And I don't know if that's on purpose, because it's like a pulpy show. It's designed to be like almost EC comic-esque in a way. But it's selling itself on a much bigger story that involves like this conspiracy by this big corporation called Stoneheart. They're involved with this monster, which is basically a big fat fucking flying vampire thing that like doesn't drains your blood, but it like it's a virus, so it leaves like these worms in you, and like at first you're dead, then you come back to life, but you're a vampire essentially. I mean, it's neat. I'll watch the show. I'll probably watch the whole thing. But again, I feel like it's maybe a 3-season show because there's 3 books. I don't know if they're just doing it as a mini series or it's going to be multiple seasons. I don't know. If it's multiple seasons, if they keep being like this, I might drop off, because just it's kind of the cheesiness factor is a little much. And Guillermo del Toro tends to be, I don't know if it's just he writes screenplays too fast that the dialogue is very, very on the nose or what. It's just his dialogue in this show is very just like I was finishing the sentences of the characters, you know. It's kind of like that.
Well, like I've always seen, I think Guillermo's English scripts are nowhere near as good as his Spanish scripts, which I think are much better written.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it goes to show you that the guy that falls in love with the Pacific Rim script and, like, makes that movie, you have to kind of question his sanity.
Right, and I think you could make a movie about the movies Guillermo del Toro won't make.
That are way better.
There's, like, so much stuff out there that he's just not doing.
Well, I mean, yeah, you could essentially write a 10,000-page book on movies that he has been attached to but didn't do.
Oh, yeah. That'd be several volumes of stuff about
it. He's like Matthew Vaughn Part 2.
Yeah, the guy is endless with like, I'll do this. Wait, nope, not doing that.
I mean, he dropped out of Beauty and the Beast. He drops out of Mountain of Madness didn't happen for him. The Hobbit didn't happen for him.
Yeah, he is one to have. I think most of his interviews are all about the stuff that he's not doing than about the actual project.
Yeah.
But how was like Corey Stoll? I like Corey Stoll.
Who's Corey Stoll?
It says he's Dr. Goodweather.
Oh, I didn't like him at all. he's kind of annoying. He's too smug. And it's like, it's kind of too, again, he's like a career-driven guy, and like his marriage is falling apart, and he loves his son. So it's like that storyline involved in this, so I know that's going to go nowhere and be pitiful and pointless. It's just like, the first episode, it opens with him going to a family therapist session, and his wife has divorced them. But then later on, you learn that he cheated on his wife, but the wife didn't know about it. But I guess she did know about it, and he doesn't know that she knew. So there's that backstory going into it, which now you're just thinking, well, I guess you're a fucking asshole then. I can't like you. I hope you die. Because it's like, I mean, he just comes off as such a prick, know-it-all prick. And he's got this really weird character tick thing, which they really push it in the first 20 minutes. It's he drinks milk. He likes a carton of milk.
Huh, that's odd.
So Sean Astin gives him milk when he arrives, and then like they do a thing where Sean Astin goes, "I got your milk, Chief," and then they never bring it up again after that. And the first episode is 1 hour and 37 minutes long.
Wow, that's a beast.
Well, it was like a little movie, and it just doesn't end great. It doesn't really end on a cliffhanger. It kind of just ends. Where they set it up like, you know, this Vato is taking this coffin with this big fat monster Dracula thing. He doesn't know what he's taking, but he's working for this evil German guy. And I guess the Nazis is going to have a big part into the show, because there's the old guy, Walter Frey, is a Jew. Then he has like a concentration camp number, or he's got a serial number tattooed on his arm. So that's going to come into play, I guess. Huh. And it's just, yeah, I mean, it's not awful, but it might be good down the road, but so far I'm kind of like on the fence about it. There's some stuff that I really liked, and there's some stuff that I just totally did not like. Like, the acting is just subpar. And even the Mexican gangbanger is just such trite. He's just like, hey, vato, what up, white boy? And you're just like, what? Nobody talks like that. No vato talks like that anymore. It's like he came out of Colors, that Sean Penn movie from 89.
Yeah.
It's like, that is so old. That arc, that stereotype is so old, and coming from like a Mexican filmmaker, it's kind of embarrassing.
What about Kevin Durand?
He wasn't even in it.
No?
Nope, he's in the second episode, it looks like, but he's not in this one at all.
Oh, that's too bad. I was curious about him.
No, yeah, he's not in it. They showed him in the trailer for the next episode, and that was it.
Do they use the word vampire at all, or?
No, not yet. I mean, they haven't said anything.
Are they just calling it like a virus, or?
Yeah, right now it's a virus.
Okay.
There's no vampire talk yet. I'm sure they'll get to that. But I'm curious. I'm sure the books are better, but I'm not going to read them. I got too many books to read.
What are you reading right now?
Gone Girl.
I read the synopsis on Wikipedia. That was enough for me.
Very good. See, I like to enjoy a book.
Nah.
Unless it's Under the Dome. If it's like over 1,000 pages and it ends like that, I'd be fucking pissed. So I'm glad I read it on Wikipedia.
But yeah, I don't know. I read the synopsis on Wikipedia. That was fine with me. It kind of went how you would figure to a degree. So it's like,
okay, yeah.
You can kind of see it coming.
Is it very predictable, you think?
I think so. Like, I didn't finish reading the synopsis and think, wow, that's crazy. I read it thinking, okay, all right. That's shocking.
What's funny about it is you read the book, and the way they describe the Nick Dunn character, they say he reminds you of an 80s teenage movie villain. And I was like, oh my God, that's Ben Affleck. They casted that perfectly. Because he comes off as like an idiot, but he's actually a nice guy, but like he's so awkward that it's like he digs his own holes, basically.
Sure.
That's what the movie, like, I don't know how they're gonna pull that off in the movie. It's gonna be interesting to see. Because it's like, you know, you don't like Ben Affleck. That's the idea. He's not a likable person, but he didn't kill his wife, or you think he didn't, but then did he kill his wife? I don't know, because I'm not that far into the book. I just started. It's just been sitting on my shelf for like 6 months.
All right. That's fair.
But, yeah. Gotham, kind of not interested in it. Rather read books.
So I got a question about this Andy Serkis quote. Like, get your thoughts on it.
Because
they ask him about Thanos in Avengers 2, and he says, quote, like, if he plays the character, basically, like if he's doing his body work.
Right.
And he says, I have to deny that character at this point, but I am playing a character, blah, 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 blah. So I'm just thinking, is he playing that character, or is he really playing someone else?
What in what movie?
In Avengers 2.
Oh, and is Andy Serkis in Avengers 2?
Well, he is, yeah. Yeah, that's confirmed.
Oh, like, maybe he... Well, is he necessarily motion capture?
Yeah, like whatever he's doing is motion capture.
Oh, maybe he's the Hulk.
No, he gave advice to Ruffalo on how to perform the Hulk.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he came to set to, like, talk to him. But I guess he is actually playing a character in the movie.
Maybe that's just a cameo.
Maybe. How's your mic? I'm getting a little static feedback here.
It fell.
Oh, right. Okay.
I was just picking it up.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
But I don't know. I have no opinion.
All right, well, just curious. No problem.
I don't think they would have just Josh Brolin do the voice of Thanos. That'd be kind of a waste.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to him playing that in the first place, so.
I mean, it's an interesting idea. I don't know. I don't hate Josh Brolin. I just think it's such a out-of-left-field choice.
It is very much so, yeah. It is, his voice doesn't stand out to me as being that authoritative or commanding. Well,
I'll have to see how good he is in Dame to Kill For.
Ugh, yeah. That's like 10 years too late.
It is 10 years too late.
Gosh. What a misstep. But I mean, I'm seeing it, but it does not excite me at all.
Well, I mean, Jesus Christ, when has Robert Rodriguez ever made anything good?
That's a good question.
He's like the Angelina Jolie of filmmakers.
Yeah, like at the time I enjoyed Spy Kids, I enjoyed Desperado, but I tried watching Desperado since, and I really can't sit through it.
No.
It's not that great.
And when you take your Dusk Till Dawn, you take a 90-minute movie and turn it into a series where, like, the first three episodes are essentially the first 10 minutes of the movie, that's really annoying.
Is that what that is on that Matador network?
Oh, El Rey?
Yeah.
Yeah, El Rey, it's terrible.
It's the worst network ever. Though I will give him props. He does have a good idea for a show, but they've only had one episode, and I don't think they have other episodes. It's called The Director's Chair, and it was just Robert Rodriguez talking to John Carpenter for an hour.
Well, that's awesome.
And that was actually a really good show. It was that really cool.
Sounds like it, yeah.
No, it was good. But the way that Robert Rodriguez sets it up is he goes, this is a show for directors talking to other directors they admire. And for the first episode, I'm going to talk to John Carpenter. So he's saying like he's going to get, it sounds like he's going to have other directors talk to other directors that are, you know, famous directors. But I think the best he can do is John Carpenter. It's not like Martin Scorsese is going to sit and talk with Robert Rodriguez.
Sure.
It's not like Terrence Malick is going to sit and talk with Robert Rodriguez. Or Christopher Nolan or David Fincher. It's gonna gonna come down to like Quentin Tarantino and Eli Roth talking to each other. And that's probably what's gonna be the next episode, I'm sure.
Don't scare me.
Hooper. It'll be like Toby Hooper talking about Texas Chainsaw Massacre and The King's Speech. So two movies that, you know, he got a lot of credit for.
Same guy.
And Les Mis.
Oh, right. He did that too, version. Yeah.
That's Toby Hooper. Fantastic director. Does everything, but not Poltergeist.
No. Of course not. No.
Nope.
Didn't happen. Nope. Wasn't him.
Wasn't me.
So, what else? We watched... We're like 45 minutes in. We're just going to keep going. You watched... Because I watched the damn movie. So I
Well, speaking of Josh Brolin, that's what I a good tie-in. Yeah. Old Boy. We watched Old Boy on Netflix, which is, again, like a two-year-old movie now.
Is it?
Yeah. It came out October of last year.
Oh, is that it? Wow.
I thought it was older than that. No. It's pretty recent. It just did so bad that it's on Netflix now. But it's a worthless remake. There was no need for this movie to exist.
But that doesn't mean it was a bad movie.
No, but the one thing I took away from it after I finished was...
Elizabeth Olsen has great tits.
That's true. And then also I was thinking no one really cared about this movie. No one felt invested. There wasn't anyone in it who was like, oh man, I'm making this totally awesome movie. I'm really excited. This is such a great idea. It was just like, I'm getting paid. Like, let's just do it and go home. I've got things to do.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
the Hugo Weaving factor.
Yeah, it's like, you know what? I might have left the oven on, so I got to get home and check and I don't know, whatever. Yeah, especially, you know, Spike Lee. Like, I just didn't think there was anything from him that felt like he was trying to make a good movie.
It just it's very generic. It's very cut and paste. There's nothing to it. The only part that I could say is undeniably Spike Lee is the part where Josh Brolin kills a rugby team for no reason. So it's Spike Lee getting his aggression out on some kind of white people sport that he doesn't understand.
Right, he's like, eh, white people.
Crazy ass people with a rugby spot.
No, yeah, I didn't get that because I thought it made a lot more sense in the original.
Well, because in the original he gets accosted by a street gang. It's like these guys are thugs.
Yeah, he's like kind of staring at him because he wants to test out his fighting skills a little bit.
Yeah.
And he like flicks a cigarette at him and then he kind of picks a fight and then it builds in a natural way for his character. But in this one it's just like,
who are you?
I'm going to punch you.
In this one, he's essentially chasing the girl with the umbrella.
Right.
And she manages to stop by a high school football field where there's a rugby team practicing. I don't know why. And he basically, Josh Brolin grabs this chick and like flings her around and says, "Who the fuck are you?" Like, you know, psychotically. So he's, you know, one, violent. Two, he's all in black, so he looks like a bad guy. And three, he's attacking a woman who's just walking away from him. And so, like, this team of rugby guys are like, you know, "Hey, bro, what's up? Why don't you relax?" And then he just basically kills five of them in front of their girlfriends, mind you.
Yeah, and that never comes back later, by the way. No one's like, arrest that guy.
Yeah. He obviously breaks somebody's neck when he like kicks them and hits them with his fist and they go down to the grass and his neck twists to the point where it's almost completely around.
No, yeah, that felt awkward because I'm like,
it was just, he was psychotic. He was like homicidal maniac. I'm just like, oh wow, this is our hero. This is our protagonist of the piece. That's right. Great.
And I thought, like, the original also opens up in a lot more dynamic way, because you got that scene where he's on the rooftop with the guy, the guy maybe committing suicide, and he's holding him over the edge, and he wants to tell a story. And also, I thought the original was a more darkly comedic. Like, there's funny, dark moments in the movie. Whereas the Josh Brolin one was pretty devoid of any humor.
It was very too serious.
It was really dry.
No.
And
there would be plenty of room for humor. And I don't think they knew.
Yeah.
I don't think they understood what they were dealing with. But I didn't read the Magna. What's it called?
Manga?
Did you look that up? Did you look up the Wikipedia manga?
No, but I heard they wanted to make it less like the movie and more like the manga, but I believe in the manga, the incest does not happen. That was the movie only.
Hmm.
And that happens here again, so...
Well, they Americanize it. They make the incest 400 pounds overweight.
What?
Because not just... The father was not just stooping the daughter, he's stooping the wife and Cherito Copley.
Oh, right, I mean the bad guy, that incest.
Yeah, I
meant the incest between Josh Brolin and his daughter.
Oh, that. Oh, yeah. That's fine. Yeah, that was...
I that's in the original movie, but I don't believe it's in the manga.
Okay, so the manga does have the incest with the...
Maybe, because in the, I don't know.
The Korean version, it was the brother and the sister were
right,
doing
were
it.
Yeah.
And the American version, and then in the Korean version, she commits suicide because of the shame with Josh Brolin telling everybody in high school about it. So she kills herself, and that's what sets up, that's the backstory to the revenge.
But
whereas
in this
version, go ahead.
Yeah, the father literally shoots everyone, which I thought was probably one of the better shots of the movie, where he's kind of following him around the camera. That was kind of a cool bit. But yeah, he basically just kills his whole family in the course of like 2 minutes. And that was one of my favorite parts, was when the father, he's already shot at least one or two people. I'm not sure right anymore. Definitely one. And he comes in on the Charlton Copley character as a young boy, holding the shotgun. And the character's first instinct is to drop his pants.
Yeah.
It's like, of all the things to think about. Like, does he typically walk around with a gun all the time? He's just like, hey.
Yes.
Get naked. Cause
do you not do this in your house? Do you not do this in the palace? This is, I mean, duh. I don't go a day without taking my pants off and holding the shotgun.
I guess it must be not a family secret, because Charlton is very apt just to remove his pants while his mom is, I guess, upstairs or whatever.
Well, it must be no big deal. Well, apparently he's deaf because he didn't hear two gunshots go off.
Well, that's what I was thinking too. Like, people have been murdered and no one's like, "Hey, something's going on." It's like,
Daddy, who cares? Daddy, let me take off my pants. Oh no!
It's like, it's Tuesday. Whatever. Who cares?
It's another Wednesday at the Copley residence.
It was very odd. It's like such a, I don't know. It took you out of the movie because it just doesn't make any sense.
Well, I think the whole movie took me out of the movie.
Yeah, because the first one uses a very thin plot device in hypnosis, but at least they tried. Whereas this one, the plot device is coincidence. That's like the big thing that ties it all together.
And also in the original, it was more about mystery. And in this one, the bad guy reveals himself to Brolin in the bar. And he tells him everything. He goes, "You need to find out why you're here, and I will give you $20 million in diamonds." And he's like a Bond villain, so I don't know what the fuck. He's not scary at all or intimidating. He's too goofy of a character to exist in reality.
Right, and he has his henchman.
Yeah. Character. That and chick also, that gets box cut to death.
Yeah, I thought Brolin was way too much of a badass with his, like, fighting skills.
Yeah.
It was just insane. Because I appreciated the first movie where he's a fighter, but he's more of just a real physical guy. He's, like, throwing his fists around. He's, you know, he's a real striker. And he's also taken down at certain points during that long take fight with the hammer. You know, he's not...
Oh. God, that took forever.
He doesn't own that scene, whereas Brolin just owns the whole scene. He's got no issues at all. It's just one murder after the next.
Well, I mean, that's like the original, the hammer scene was awesome. And in the new version, the old boy version, it's not that good.
No, yeah,
it's actually kind of boring.
Yeah, like the original version, there's some tension there because you don't know if he's going to make it. And along with that, there's a certain sense of reality to it. I mean, heightened reality, for sure, but it's a fight that feels kind of real world, where he's not connecting with every punch, there's a lot of awkward positioning with people trying to, like, maneuver and fight and kick his ass, and it felt like a balance between the real hyper-real stuff of the kung fu wire work, and then, like, P.T. Anderson and Joaquin Phoenix fights that are too realistic, where it's like that is a real fight, but it's boring and it's like kind of sad.
I'm sorry, I thought you meant Paul W.S. Anderson.
No,
with
but like
the Resident Evil films.
No, but like the stuff in like The Master, where he fights Kevin Anderson or whatever his name is, or Kevin whatever.
Kevin J. O'Connor.
Yeah, and it's like just these like really awful, awkward fights, just like these like wind up punches and.
Headlocks, bringing him to the ground, kind of a thing.
Yeah, like I think those two are probably the kings of the most realistic fights that have ever been put on cinema. It's just so awful and hard to watch.
Well, just like the Brienne Hound fight scene.
Yeah, that felt as realistic as like a fantasy sword fight scene has ever looked.
Yeah,
which is saying a lot. Like,
yeah, that was down and dirty. That's how I would fight a woman.
Yeah, I mean, they'd really get into it, which is great. Yeah.
Revenge kicking and head punching and biting.
Right. No, yeah, I thought it was terrific. And but yeah, that like the Brolin scene just lacked any tension, because right from the start.
Well, that was the whole movie. There's no tension in the whole movie at all. It's just like you're kind of at that point. You're just sort of like paint by numbers. You're kind of like, okay, in the original this happened, in this version this happens. Okay, get to the point where they fuck, where they have the incest. Because I know that's coming. When's that coming?
That was the whole thing for me. Was I was kind of excited, not terribly, but I at least felt like, okay, if they're gonna remake it and they're gonna do it more off the manga, at least that's different. So when I watch it, there'll be some surprises for me if maybe I ever watch it.
Maybe the manga had the same ending as the American version.
Maybe. I don't. I'll try and do a quick look up here and see what it is.
Because that was the only thing that kind of struck me as making the new Old Boy. I made more sense to me the way it ended. I kind of like the ending better because Brolin is so disgusted with himself and kind of with the whole situation that there's really no other place for him to go other than back to that prison.
Yeah, let's see. I'm looking over this stuff.
Because in the original version, he just sort of like, oh no, I slept with my daughter, but she was great in bed and I love her, so I guess I can hypnotize myself not to remember. That's what I got. You know, those Koreans are weird.
Yeah. And the original version was definitely a little weird, but in a way that made it a lot of fun. Like, upon watching it again, it was just really different.
Now, is this the same guy that did I Saw the Devil? Or is that the different director?
No.
Same actor, different director.
Different director. Now, this... You mean like the original movie, right?
Yes, the original movie.
Yeah, it's Chan Wook Park. He did
The Host. Some other
Korean films that you probably don't
care. He didn't do The Host, did he? He did Mother, though. I know that.
No. Mother was the same guy who did The Host and Snowpiercer and... some other stuff.
Okay, so that's that guy. Who did I Saw the Devil?
Let me look that one up.
Bong Hong Big Dick.
Saw the Devil, let's see. It might have been that guy. Let
me Bang Ding Ow, Me Too Low. Holy Foo.
Kim Ji Won, who is neither of those people. So, yeah, fine.
What else did he do? I Saw the Devil guy.
He did Last Stand with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's what I'm thinking of.
He did Good, the Bad, and the Weird. That's right.
Interesting.
And he did Tale of Two Sisters.
Oh, that sounds like a porno.
No, it's like a horror movie, I think.
All black cast.
No.
Tale of Two Sisters.
But yeah, period. So anyway. But this guy, Chan Wook Park, he did... I think he did Stoker, the one that came out.
Okay. Yeah, the Old Boy guy did Stoker.
Yeah, and he did Thirst, if you ever saw that one.
Okay, yes. I didn't see it, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and he did some more stuff that's similar to Old Boy. It's called the Vengeance Trilogy.
Oh, that's right. He did Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance and Lady Vengeance.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah, okay.
So, take it or leave it, but yeah, that's...
which are basically not too far away from I Saw the Devil.
In a lot of ways, no. There's a lot of vengeance theme going on for a lot of Korean film, I guess.
Apparently.
There's some differences in the manga listed on Wikipedia, but they're a little hard to get through. Because you kind of have to know the manga to know what's going on.
Oh.
But the wiki for the manga doesn't actually list the story, so...
Oh, that's shit.
Yeah, so I'm not going to dig too deep. Much deeper.
Wikipedia failed again.
But,
get on that, Wikipedia.
I know. Gosh, what a bunch of jerks. But, no, yeah, I thought the Josh Brolin one just left me disappointed. And it was weird because with Sam Jackson in it, I didn't get why he was even in the movie.
Yeah, he's barely in it. He didn't make like a lot of cameo. Sense.
Yeah. And then it's just like they get like a black actor in the movie. He had like that fringe guy in for a second, and that was about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wouldn't recommend seeing it. I didn't think it was that good. No, but for some reason I sat up watching that. I started at 1 or 2 in the morning.
And I stayed
away for the whole damn thing. I couldn't.
Wow.
I was shocked. I was like, "All right, I'll fall asleep to this and then go to bed." And I was like, "Nope, didn't happen."
You were riveted.
Not really. I was kind of like, "Why am I even still here?"
Spike Lee got you. Yeah. Spike Lee got you in his grasp.
No. No.
Yeah, that's annoying. It's a bad thing about this microphone. It picks up a fucking mouth fart from across the hall.
Oh, man.
It's a good mic, though. I guess. Yeah. All right, well, let's call it a night because we've been talking about this bullshit for too long.
Oh, yeah, that's a long one. This is good.
Let's go to the bar. We'll probably cut it in half. How about that?
Why not? I'll try.
Just make 2 episodes out of this. Who cares?
God bless. Fantastic.
We still got 4 more episodes to put up from 4 years ago.
A lot of stuff to go up, yeah.
Just put it all up and see what happens.
We'll see. Yeah, all right. That sounds
good. Maybe we'll get 5 hits. Maybe we'll get 10. I don't know.
Don't aim for 10. That sounds like too many.
Yeah, you're right. All right, let's go to the bar.
All right, to the bar.
Woo!